We have a baptism, when was it? Last Sunday. Pam, where's Pam? Where's Pam? Pam, come on up. Yes. Yeah. There you go, Pam. Uh-huh. So at the end of the service, we'll have her come up and y'all can be a part of that. And congratulating her as well. So I love it when when the waters are being stirred for baptisms. It's always an exciting thing. It is always an exciting thing. So we are in the house of the Lord today. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. I want to remind you to continue to pray for Israel as they go through their thing right now. There's a lot going on in the world. And I tell you what, this always reminds me, thank God I'm a believer. And that I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And part of the family of God. Amen. And I pray you can say the same thing for yourself. I pray that you can say the same thing for yourself. It is allergy time. I hear a lot of that. And and you can smell the, we turned the heaters on today, the furnace. You can smell that today. But it is a change of season for sure. But if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Luke chapter 11 this morning. I'm going to share some scripture with you that we don't normally preach on or teach on. We teach a little bit, but we don't preach on it as much, but and try to work through it today and talk to you about a house divided and a few other scriptures that this is a part of. I'm going to ask you a couple questions. Do you believe in what the Bible says? Just asking you. I want you to think about that. Do you really believe in what the Bible says? And what I mean is not just the love part, but the whole part. So many people pick and choose certain things out of the Bible with what they like, and then they say, well, this is my opinion about this. Now, there's some things that we may not totally understand. Talked to a couple of theologians before, and many of them believe it. There's probably about 3 or 4%. We just don't really, you know, they really can't even grasp. And that's the smart guys. There's still parts that they can't grasp, and even the parts we think we grasp, we may miss it on some of these things. So I'm just asking, you know, do you believe in what the Bible says? Do you believe in spiritual things? I mean, do you believe in angels? Do you believe in demons at all? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died and he was crucified, died and buried and was resurrected on the third day? Do you believe in that? Do you understand the story of Easter? And if you believe these things in your own life, I wonder sometimes why we're in a mess. If we believe in the Bible, we believe in Jesus, who he says, I wonder why we're in such a mess. And it may be because we may believe in the Bible, but we really don't know what the Bible has to say. We believe in something, but how can you believe in something that you don't really know much about? So we need to read our Bibles. And also about Jesus, we think, okay, once I come to salvation, I've got it, I'm clean and good, and I don't need to grow. Well, we do need to grow in our walk with the Lord. So I'm going to share some things with you this morning here. So we are going to go into Luke chapter 11. We're going to be in starting in verse 14. But I want to pray before we go. Father, Lord, just give us insight on your word today. May your presence be upon us today, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to use us. And in this moment, Lord, use this time that we may learn from it, grow in it, be convicted if need be pressed by your spirit if need be, draw us to yourself if we need even draw closer. And may your word be done and be fulfilled in your will in our lives this morning. In Christ's name, amen. So when we read things about Jesus in the Gospels, we do struggle with certain things. We do struggle with the things when it crosses over into here in verse 14. He says, now he was driving out a demon that was mute. We struggle with that right there. Many of us believe that that stuff is the old days, but it don't happen today. We, in our country, we are very intellectual. We believe we're the smartest people in the world, that we are the most gifted people in the world. We're very proud people. We're very divided people right now. We are a people that are very lazy. We are a people that feels like everything should be given to us for free. We are very just divided in so many things right now. People don't even know which way to go. And that's exactly what Satan loves to do, is divide the house. Divide and conquer. And so we see this here. And he says, now he was driving out a demon that was mute. And when the demon came out, the man who had been mute spoke, and the crowds were amazed. But some of them said, he drives out demons by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons. And others, as a test, were demanding of a sign of him, a sign from heaven. Knowing their thoughts, he told them every kingdom divided against itself is headed for destruction, and a house divided against itself falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say, I drive out demons by Beelzebul. And if I drive out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons drive them out? For this reason, they will be your judges. If I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man fully armed guards his estate, his possessions are secure. But when one stronger than he attacks, overpowers him, he takes from him all of his weapons he entrusted in and divides up his plunder. Anyone who is not with me is against me, and anyone who does not gather with me scatters. Wow. So we see a people that are moved by what Jesus had just did, by Jesus casting out this, driving out this demon in this person that was mute, and then he begins to talk, and then people are moved by it. Some people are moved in different ways. Some people are moved by what they see. What they saw here, they were moved by it. Some people were right on it and believed it. Other people believed, oh, you can't cast that out unless you are, you know, that you are a demon yourself. You're casting out because there's a demon in you. And so there's that. And others, just this was a test for them, demanding. They just want a sign. Folks, that's the same thing that's happening today. I'm not going to believe in God unless God makes a move. I'm not going to believe that God can do it. God's got to prove himself to me. Why would you people go to church and believe in a God you can't see? Why would you go to a church and pray to someone that you can't see, that you can't feel? There are people like that. Show me, and then I'll believe. Show me, and I'll believe. Well, these people, Jesus was casting out demons all the time. People were seeing it, and people still didn't believe. So people today are still today saying, Jesus, do something. Have your God do something. And if he does something, then I'll believe. And then you have the other people that wouldn't believe. If they see it, they have to be the ones to be there. They can't take a witness for it, but they have to be there. Some people are not moved by what they see unless they are moved emotionally. Their emotions are moved by their emotions. So we have a crowd here that's trying to work through and trying to figure out what has just been done. Same thing when we have a baptism. People are trying to figure out, really, some people don't understand baptism and say, what is that all about? Oh, they're coming to Jesus. Oh, they must be coming to God. Oh, they're stepping. Maybe that's their day of salvation. That's their day. And so people are confused by that in the crowds. People just don't know the Word of God. And so we have people that struggle with what they believe. We struggle with what we believe and then don't know why we believe in what we believe in. And Jesus is casting out one demon out of this individual, and this crowd is working through this whole thing, trying to figure it all out. And then they turn around and say that you must be casting out this demon by the father of demons. Wow. And Jesus says this, every kingdom divided against itself is headed for destruction. And a house divided against itself falls. That's exactly the darkness, what Satan wants is, he wants division. He wants things to fall apart, such as your house, your home, this church, ministries, whatever you do that try to glorify God, Satan will be in the midst to try to cause it to be divided. But he says, here it is. He goes and he continues to go on, and he says some things here about a strong man. You see, man, I got it. So we have to understand and know that there are such things as the demonic world. Now, some of you, I've had conversations with, some of us believe on maybe if it was a scale of 1 to 10, and 10 being like, I truly believe it, and people are at a 10. Some people are at an 8. Some people are at a 5. It doesn't matter what you think. They're real. They are real. The problem is, even some of us believe that they're real, that we believe that they're on the other side of the world. We believe that that's old school stuff. That's Old Testament stuff. But yeah, Jesus came, we saw some stuff, and all of a sudden now that stuff isn't even real. Folks, it's more real than what you know. It's in your midst. It's in your area. People go to the places they we see the worship. We see the satanic I forgot the name of it. Anyway, the idol of Satan with one child, a boy on the onto one side and a little girl on the other side, and has been put up in some of the states. It's there. It is an idol. We have it, and most of us just think, okay, it's over there and it's in another state. That's a problem with our country, too. It's another problem we have, is we don't care what's going on in other places as long as it don't happen here. Well, it's coming here if we don't work it. We're struggling. We're struggling as a nation. We're struggling as a church. There's 1,700 pastors quit every month. They quit. 1,700 pastors a month. We're having a hard time fighting this battle. I thought Alabama was having problems with needing 500 pastors just in the SBC churches. 500 churches in Alabama need pastors right now, but I didn't know that Mississippi's in the same area. They need 3,000. That's 8,000 in two states. There's not enough preachers. There's churches with no preachers in there. Conquer, divide. God has all our eyes and looking at all kinds of other things. What was really going on here? Jesus was looking. They're all looking at this and casting, saying that, yeah, Jesus, you must have a demon in you. But here's the thing. Nobody talks about, wow, this man had a demon in him. And Jesus took it out. But there's a warning even with that. There's a warning there. There's a whole warning there. You see, when lost people are walking around in the world, they are not as strong as they think that they are. Demonic does work. Demonic actually does. Demonic does enter into people at times. I'm going to treat you like I'm going to be in a group of people who really understand what I'm talking about. Is that okay? So I'm not going to bounce around. I'm not going to tap around on it. If you miss some of it today, I get it. I get it. It's okay. You might miss some of it, okay? Demonic is real. It's just the way it is. They're more around you than you think that they than they know. But I also want to remind you, as I get into, I want to remind you, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Jesus Christ, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, those scriptures are used very loosely. But when you understand and know the power of those scriptures and the power of the one that's behind him, it makes you very strong, a very strong believer. When you're walking in the will of the Lord, you're trying to live out your life the way that God wants you to, you're doing what God wants you to do, you're living out your way, I'm telling you, you're living it out the way God wants you to, you are a very strong light in the world of darkness. So what we see here is Jesus does an awesome miracle. The man could not get rid of it on his own. The man could not get rid of it on his own. As much as he wanted to, he could not get rid of it on his own. Today, the world would do some things like, well, let's give you some more pills. You have this, this, and that. Now, there are things that people we have that they diagnose today. But I'm telling you, we go back and we a lot of people go back, and even many Christians go back and say, that was people with a lot of mental illness. That was people with a lot of things that are psychological issues. Let me tell you, demonic, that is a great task that the demonic loves, is that you believe that they're not real. And they even work together. But here we find out that there's a strong man that works. Strong man that works. But the stronger man is the Lord Jesus Christ. So the strong man, the one that can take out the one who's inside. Let's go here. I want to go here. He says this in verse 24. When an unclean spirit comes out of a person, it roams through waterless places looking for rest. And when it finds, and when it's not finding rest, and then it says, I'll go back to my house and I came from. Returning, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself. And they enter and settle down there. As a result, that person's last condition is worse than the first. I want to tell you, if it's the first time you're reading that, you're not going to understand that. You're not going to understand it. It can take a while to figure out really what's going on unless you have some help. Basically, it's a man who had a demon in him. And that demon is cast out. Now, no one can cast out a demon but the Lord himself. That's why, in the scriptures we see rebuke in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only name that can cast them out. So when this is cast out, what happens? It roams out. It goes out of a person and it's seeking rest, but it can't find any rest. And it comes back and it finds that house clean and put in order. But Jesus is not in that person. It may be clean, it may be in order, but it's not filled with the Holy Spirit. So what does it say? It says that scripture goes, it says the scripture says it goes out and it brings seven more demons, more powerful than itself, and it fills that person. And what's the scripture? What did Jesus say? Now listen, all these words I'm reading today are not my words. They're not words. If you have a Bible that's in red and black, it's not in black. These words are in red. Jesus said these words. He says, as a result, that person's condition is worse than it was in the beginning. So what he's saying is, all these people that he had cast out these demons and things, all this work that he did, if they did not fill themselves up with the Lord, the Holy Spirit, then they will return. And the state of that person will be worse on the second time coming back. This is why he says in verse 23, if anyone is not with me, he's against me. It's Jesus has a system. God has a system. We're trying to rework the system. We're trying to do it our way instead of doing it His way. We're doing that in our homes. We're doing that in our church. We do it all in America. We're trying to do it all without Him. But sometimes we'll use Him and we'll just use Him just in word. We'll just use Him in just in title. But we're not doing that. One of the reasons we do New Life Ministries is we keep the board inside the church is because here it is. I do not want to see Jesus' name leaving the ministries. I've seen it too many times where you go in, you get a church, they start a ministry, and the church and the ministry are running together. Then either the church gets a little bit lower, they may have financial problems, they got little issues, or the ministries has some issues, whatever it may be. Or we don't have enough people, they don't have enough people to work it. What happens is somebody begins to say, hey, we're slacking for money, we need to do some things, and some of those things could be good, but then all of a sudden we start to adjust what we're really doing because people get desperate, and what happens is Jesus is no longer the center. It's money. Jesus is no longer the center. It's about people and numbers. And so so what happens is, well, let's just separate and we start putting more people on a board. You start getting those people. And next thing you know, you start with a strong group of people, but the replacements are not as strong. Good banker. She owns a really good company. They would be a really great donor. Yeah, they go to the church. And then they come in and they belong to the church, but they don't really attend. And you get another one of them. Next thing you know, they've already have manipulated and had worked that whole side of it. And then the church and the ministry start doing this. Well, we're just going to go ahead. We need to cut away from the church. We're losing donors because of the church or whatever. And they'll cut the string. And next thing you know, what God has called them to do is they're no longer doing it. I've seen it too many times. I've seen it too many times. And the name that gets dropped first is Jesus. His name gets dropped. Testimonies are no longer there. It's all about raising money. It's all about doing this and all about doing that. And here it is. The house was divided. The house was divided. Jesus says, if anyone is not with me, he's against me. I'm asking you today, are you with the Lord Jesus Christ? And I would ask you, how are you doing that? Well, how can you show signs of that? One of those ways you can say that you're here today, but what else? He says, anyone who does not gather with me scatters. Listen, we are doing life. We have to do it. We have to do it. The Lord's way. Well, how do we know how to do life the Lord's way? Well, He has given us this book called the Bible, and we read this, and we follow this book. If anyone is not with me, he's against me. I think we'd probably say there's more people against the Lord than what we actually probably think. And the demonic world does work in the church. He does work. It does work in cities. It does work in nations. It does work trying to get your children not to obey you, trying to get your children not to follow in the ways of the Lord, rebelling and those types of things. The demonic world is real. It's not to be feared or be afraid of. Unless you're involved with those things, you have a lot to be fearful of. I'm just going to lay it out to you. How's that? Can I lay it out to you? When a city official comes to me and says, Jimmy, you were right. There is witchcraft in this community. That happened this week. You need to wake up. I said, what happened? And then he begins to tell me. And that I'm not going to share, but I'm just telling you, it's here. It's prevalent. I keep saying it. People think I'm crazy, but it's not. I'm telling you, it's here. And you have to live and be the light of Jesus Christ. You have to live the light. Don't be ashamed when you go to the restaurant and to pray over your food, to ask God to bless it. Don't be afraid to say the name of Jesus in public. Don't be afraid to be known as a believer. It's here. And when a city person tells me that, confirms, it's just another sign showing that it's here. You see, so many times we have prayed over this community, and we're going to continue to pray over this community. But if we're not filling it up with believers, and we're not filling it up with praises to God, and we're not filling it up and letting our light shine as though they go out and they come right back and they fill this community up more and more because there's a fight going on, it's going to continue to be a fight. If you want to read up on a little bit more of what I'm talking about, just read the biography of Nicky Cruz. It's a great piece. It's a great piece. People didn't believe that there's a demonic world. People didn't believe those things. And here it is. It is right out in front of us. Do you know that even in police departments and the federal departments, that there are groups that they have in law enforcement that work with these things? It just doesn't get publicized. It just doesn't get publicized. Because we don't want to get it out because it scares people. So there are such things as demons, but I want to remind you not to be afraid. Know that Jesus Christ is in you if you are a believer. Yes, you are. You're living in victory. People need Jesus. Those people out there that are living in that lifestyle, being affected by it, they need Jesus Christ. Not every church that has a steeple is a Jesus-preaching church. So you have to check it out. You have to research what that church is. You have to know what the church believes and what they teach and what they preach. But also, want to remind you that you can't, this is not a topic that you just want to talk about every day, because we should be talking more about Jesus than we do the devil. We should be praising the Lord and not be just getting into all those other things, because it's alluring and it will draw you in, and before you know it, you're in the trap there. But what Jesus is saying here, he does say that when an unclean spirit comes out of a person, if it's not filled up with me, being Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, then it's going to come back with a vengeance. People need Jesus. And you need Jesus. There's a battle for your soul, for your eternal soul. One is the Father. The Father, the Bible says that Jesus loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That tells me that God loves us a lot. Should tell you that God loves you a lot, that he gave his only Son so that he could die for our sins. and give us life eternally with Him. Be engrafted into the family of God. Be called children of God. But there's another side that despises God, hates God. It is Satan and the demonic. It is the dark, fallen world. This whole thing of sin unconfessed, sin unforgiven. Here it is. They want you to be in there. They want you to jump in their pool. Oh, they might tease you. They might throw a little thing out there, make it look good, make it be a moment, have a moment of maybe a season of fun. But the cost outweighs heavily. The cost is heavy. And it is to keep you from the gospel. It is to keep you from having a relationship with God. Corinthians tells us that he veils the gospel to those who are lost. But then he doesn't stop there. He goes on, and Jesus says this in verse 27. As he was saying these things, a woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the one who nursed you." Basically, this person is saying, right in the middle of it, "Bless your mother. Bless the woman who gave birth to you. Bless." But Jesus responds in a different way. Was Mary awesome? Yeah. The angel came and talked to her and said, "Wow, you've been found favor with God. It's amazing." But Jesus has something to say here. He says, rather, he spoke and said, rather, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. That's Jesus. That's what he says. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you keeping the word of God? Now, what does that mean, keeping the word of God? Does that mean am I keeping 1 John 1:9 every day of my life? Am I keeping Romans? And we can go all the way through. No, it's not about trying to figure out all this by works and all this stuff like that. What it is, and he says, those who hear the word. Now, when you read the Bible, you're hearing the word. When you hear preaching, you're hearing the word. When you're driving down the road and you're hearing and you're listening to about radio and you turn on and listen to someone that's preaching, you're hearing the word. When you listen to music, be careful, some of the Christian songs are being played now, but you're even hearing the word. And even in conversations, you're hearing the word. But here it is, when you're hearing the word, the word of God right here, the word of God, the Bible, you got to keep it. And the Holy Spirit shares with you what that means, confirms and convicts. Then, no, I shouldn't be doing that. So I don't do it. Oh, I should be doing that. I should go over there and extend a hand, a helping hand, and I should do that. So that I can be blessed by the Lord. My house does not need to be divided. Things happen. You have to work through them when they do. This church cannot be divided. Can't be divided. Can't be. Been moments, people try to cause some division, those people usually never stay in church. Do you know that? They never really stay in church. The house divided cannot stand. So I'm going to build my house on solid ground. As the scripture says, not that sinking sand, right? So if I want my house to stand, I'm going to have to do it, and I'm going to have to understand and know what God's Word says. I'm going to have to understand even some of the spiritual things and knowing that when God does something, it is God, and we need to give praise to God for what He does. The baptism back there is a baptism between God and Monica. Jesus and Monica and the Holy Spirit and Monica. We were just witnesses. Excited, happy witnesses. Phil is the one that did the physical part of doing the baptism. But that was something between the Lord and Monica. When Pam was baptized last week, that was something between Pam and the Lord. And we acknowledge that. And the house builds. The house builds. Satan doesn't like that. Doesn't like it when people's lives change and when the house is being built. So he wants to come in and divide it. He wants to crush it. He wants it to fall. So we continue to stay with the Lord. And we follow that. Is anyone with the Lord? If anyone is not with me, he says, you're against me. I don't want to do life my way. It don't work. Tried that. It doesn't work. So I'm going to do it the Lord's way. I want to follow this. When I read that scripture, I feel I'm not, I feel like I'm living that. I'm trying to live that. And I feel like I'm experiencing some of this verse. Anyone who is not with me is against me. And I'm like, Lord, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Because I also know anyone who does not gather with me scatters. And that's exactly what happens when the house and people fall out of the house, out of the will, out of the church. So things, you know what they do? They scatter. And next thing you know, their attendance in churches of a year, 2 years, 3 years. Bring them. Come back. I want to promise you this. Satan is in the midst of that. I don't want to give glory. I don't want to give none of that to the Satan. But he does a lot more work in our lives than what you think he does. Attitudes. Negativity. Anything to keep chipping at the wall. Anything to keep chipping in the middle to bring the house down. And then he even says, even if that person can get cleaned up, he says, you know what? If it doesn't fill up with me and my Holy Spirit, then it's going to get worse. You know what I'm learning today as I continue? This is a tough scriptures to go through. Let me tell you, what I'm learning today is, man, you need Jesus in your life. And then this stuff gets spiritual. You need Christ in your life. And if you think you have Christ and everything is good, don't ask yourself. Ask the Holy Spirit, how's it going with me? Because our mind will deceive ourselves. Our pride will come up. Yeah, I'm great. I'm awesome. Look what I do. So we need to make sure that we that have Christ are living it out the way that He wants. And if you don't have Christ today, I'm telling you, you are empty. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the only way to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to receive Christ into your life. Not to be works and tools of the dark side. And here's the thing. People are running to darkness today. I know. After that individual told me that about what was happening in the community, he didn't want anybody else to hear it in the room. He didn't want anybody else to hear it in the room. Why? Fear of what other people would think. That topic even came up. And number two, don't know how to deal with it. Can I share with you today that I'm not here to impress you at all? I'm just here to teach you the Word of God to the best of my ability. That we are here today as a hospital, a spiritual hospital. That if you are sick spiritually, that you can come here and get help. And if you're healthy and you're spiritually healthy, that you should be on the other side of the counter helping people. Can I tell you here today that this wasn't the place that I thought we would be? I thought we would surely be out on Highway 9, on 8 acres, being the next suburban church. But the Lord said no. He kept us in the heart of the community to do a work that I didn't know. We weren't sure what we were even doing here. But here it is. This church accepts people just the way that they are. And I think that's the way God wants it. He loves you right where you are, but He loves you enough not to leave you there. And some people get that opportunity when they start to start working on themselves. And then they run, they bolt. And the next time I see them, they're worse than when they were here. I open up my phone and I go, whoop, there's 6 years going to prison. Back going to prison. When you hear the word of God, you're accountable for what you hear. If he says, come unto me all who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. He's giving you an opportunity. He says it. The word says it. It's powerful. It's pulling you toward him. And if you say no, then you're refusing the Son of God. When he tells you and he impresses upon your heart, today is the day for you to come saved. Today is for you to come to me. I'm calling you out. I'm opening your heart and my heart. It's time for you to come home. And if people say no, then they're refusing God and they're choosing to say, no, I don't want what you have to offer. And they're in a worse state than they were. When the Lord tells you to join the church, when the Lord tells you to become baptized, when the Lord tells you to do something, the Lord tells you to give something, an offering that's bigger than what you ever thought you could do, and you don't do it, you're refusing God. You're refusing. What happens when you refuse? What happens when you do it? When you do it, what's he say? Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. More or less, when you hear the word of God, you do it and you live by it. Then you are blessed. How many of you all want to be blessed by the Lord? How many of you all want to continue to see God work in your life? How many of you want to continue to see God work in this church and change lives? I do too. It comes at a cost. There is spiritual warfare that's going to happen. It's happening. Sometimes you are aware of it. Sometimes you may not be aware of it. But it happens. And it happens quite often. Folks, I told you I'm going to be honest today. You know why TB and Peggy left? My heart is out here today because I'm all over the place on this message. This is not how I usually preach. You know that. But Peggy and TB and Peggy left. And they dealt with the witchcraft over in Pennsylvania. He dealt with the with a witch doctor in Africa. He dealt with going to a church in Michigan where there were five couples in the leadership that were all living together. He dealt with that mess. He dealt with those things down in Kentucky where there was a big issue down there. He dealt them, and he said, when I come to New Life, he says, I have never, ever been to a place where the spiritual warfare is actually making me physically sick. I didn't call them from Florida out of retirement off the big old, off a beautiful lake to come up here. And I called them. If they were sick, I would have said, no, don't come. I said, how are you guys doing health-wise? We're doing great. Do you feel healthy enough to come up here? And I heard Peggy in the background, we don't want to come. Like most typical wives, we're not going there. But TB said, he called me up and says, God told us we need to come. And you come. And he said, Jimmy, I wanted the last 2 to 3 years here. When he called me in his office, he says, I'm giving you my 2 weeks. Peggy is deathly ill. And I've got health issues too. And we know it's spiritual warfare. I've never been to a place that has more spiritual warfare problems than this church and this community. And now they're in Arkansas, and they went back, and I called him up like 6 months later. He said, Jimmy, we are physically doing amazing. And he said, we pray for you guys all the time. Today I'm trying to open up your eyes to what's going on, so that you know when things happen that you'll be able to see and understand a little bit of it. It's not a topic we're going to be preaching on next week, but it's a topic sometimes that needs to be preached on. There are many people that have come. Now, the spiritual darkness was worse when we first came in, but it's still here. Folks, we were put here for a purpose, right here on this corner, right here on this corner. And basically, it is not for us to have a great name. It is for us to be a light in darkness, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ come to save those which are lost. That is the greatest victory a human can have, is salvation. Nothing is more important than a person coming to Jesus Christ. Second to that is being obedient to God, following whatever the Lord has put upon you personally and also following His Word. And we're trying to do that here by being the light, not out on Highway 9, but right here in the midst of all this stuff. And some of us may be getting tired. It's exhausting. Sometimes you can come here and you can work here for a couple of days and you don't know really, you're just being busy doing things. And sometimes you just say, why am I so exhausted? Why is it so exhausting? Because it's more than physical work. There's a spiritual side to it that gets very heavy. It weighs and it gets so heavy. Some of us have a lot of stories and a lot of lives. Folks, our phones ring from people that are trying to get into a program, trying to get off of whatever they're going through, trying to ask for help. And so the phones ring with people that are in trouble. And we're right here. Somehow they know this is a place to call. We got to get better at sharing the gospel. We got to get better at stopping and conversation and praying with people right on the spot. We got to get better at what we're doing because the enemy keeps getting better at what he's doing. But always got to remember this. We do it for Jesus. We can't do it without Him. And we're doing it for Him. We're not building steel. We're not building metal. We're not building things. We're not all the things. We're not building bridges. We're not trying to build an empire. What we're doing is the most important thing in the world. We're working with people in their spiritual life. I don't think a person to build a skyscraper would say on his deathbed, I wish I would have built another one. I bet he would be saying this. I wish I got it right with God. Father, I know that this message was a little all over. But we do know today that our house needs to be strong and not divided. That we need to be with You. And we need to understand sometimes spiritual things. And we also know, Lord, that we need to understand and know that if we want to be blessed, really be blessed, when we hear Your Word, we hear Your Spirit, we need to obey it and live it out. Father, I pray for our churches here this morning that they take heed to what Your Spirit would have for them this morning. And may Your will be done in each person's life this morning. In Christ's name, amen. Let's